Chosen a subject for my message this morning, one I've never used before. Well, I've preached on this subject before, but I've never used this topic. But I felt like the Spirit of the Lord was just pointed this out to me. And I want to talk to you for just a little while on the stranger. And this country seems like to me that we are rapidly finding strangers in it. And I'm not talking about the people that come across the southern border. But the stranger that I'm talking about are the people that are thankful. It seems to me that we're coming to the place that there are more people that are not thankful than we find that are thankful. Amen. Last week, we had so much to be thankful for. We had a stage full of beautiful voices. Last week, we had barbecue and fried chicken. Last week, everybody was talking how beautiful the weather was. You know, everything just seemed to fall into place, and people just enjoyed, and I'm so appreciative of all the people that participated and helped and worked. And, you know, and this week, it's maybe a little let down here. You know, I could look around here, and I could think, you know, maybe we don't have as much to be thankful for. You know, I could be all miserable. I could come in and get downtrodden. I heard about one preacher. He said he got tired of preaching to the lumber yard. Other words, there wasn't nobody on his benches. But you know what? You're not thankful because everything goes the way that you want it to. And the grumbler grumbles because everything didn't go their way. Now, you see, whenever you're in the good times and the lesser times, Paul said in the Mamertine prison, he said, in everything, give thanks. Other words, when you're beaten, when you're bleeding, when you're in prison, no matter what you're going through, you see, the difference is if there is a thankful spirit in you, you will always find something to be thankful for. If there's a grumbling spirit in you, you will always find something to complain about. And you know what? Yeah, I've grumbled. Every time I went to a third world country, I would come home and I say, when I get back to the United States of America, I will never ever complain again. And every time I came back, I did complain. And you may find things to complain about, but a thankful person will begin to be thankful even when the complaining is maybe okay. They'll find something good to be thankful for. That's what we've got to focus on. I'm going to tell you, everybody who's thankful has probably grumbled at some time, and everybody who grumbled has probably been thankful at some time. But I stopped by here to tell you today, you can choose which one you want to do. You can rise up in the morning and give thanks for the brand new day that God has blessed you with, or you can complain and grumble about whatever it is you got to do that day. We're talking about 10 lepers here. And they were outside of the city. I want us to look at their condition, their cry, their cure, their course, and I want us to see their character. But first, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to show you why we're seeing the things that we're seeing in our streets. This know that also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. They're without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. I'm afraid we've come to a nation that maybe has lost its appreciation and has lost its thankfulness. How somebody can burn a flag on Veterans Day, that is beneath despicable. Somebody died that you could go and burn that flag. It's time that we come back to our senses, and we're going to find in this passage of Scripture exactly what causes unthankfulness. I want us to look at their condition in verse 11 and 12. These were lepers, and it came to pass as he went through Jerusalem, talking about Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now that was their condition. In other words, when you were a leper, you had to get outside of the city. You had to be disassociated with your family. You couldn't have any friends. The only friends you had were other leprous people. It's sort of like it created a gang. You know, you wonder where these gangs come from sometime. Is it because there's some kind of leprosy in them? And if Jesus could just pass close enough to them that they could just hear his voice and hear him talk about healing and living an abundant life, that the whole thought process might could change. But here these people were. They were without. They were on the outside. They had to be separated. And whenever somebody came by, they had to cry out that I'm unclean. You can't get close to me. If you do, you might catch what I've got. You might become a leper yourself. And we hear their cry in verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I want you to see the difference here. You see, their cry was supposed to be, stay away. Don't come close. You might catch what I've got. But instead, they changed their cry just a little bit because there was somebody passing by who could make a difference in their life. And they began to cry out, Master, have mercy. Oh, I want to tell you, there's one cry that I would love to come from the United States of America one more time, and that is a cry to Almighty God and say, have mercy on us, my God. Reach down, send somebody by who can change where we are and bring us to the level of thankfulness and appreciation that we used to have in this country. Hallelujah. Whoa. But not only their cry, but look at their cure. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now you see, in order, when a leper got cleansed, they usually had to send for the priest. And he had to come. Let's look in Leviticus and chapter 14. This is the law for a person with leprosy. Now what they're dealing with, it's not a law. They're dealing with a love. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper. I want to tell you, your whole world's going to change when you don't have to be directed and controlled and moved and manipulated by law. But you can recognize a great love. And because of that great love, you just move in a direction that you didn't even know your life could go. Whew. The law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. In other words, they didn't just get up and go show themselves to the priest. Somebody had to tell, bring them in. And then the priest would go out of the camp. They would come right to the outside of it and say, I'm clean. And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command. Watch this. This is so beautiful, y'all. I got so excited. I just hope I can speak it in a way that it'll light you up like it did me. Commanded to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two buds, alive and clean. And cedar wood's got kind of a reddish tint to it, y'all. And scarlet, completely red. And hyssop, Oh, hyssop, what they use when they want to give him some vinegar mixed with gall, and the blood gets on the hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel, overrunning with water. Earthen vessel. Would that be kind of like a tomb? And then the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. In other words, there has to be two, and they have to be compatible. But one of the two has got to die so that the other one can live. In other words, the birds may be compatible. Jesus Christ was not compatible with us, but he came and became compatible because he could be the one who could die so that we could go free. My God, we were covered with sin and leprosy and guilt and condemnation, and we could not cleanse ourselves. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and look, and shall let the living bird loose into an open field. Can you see that? One had to be sprinkled. The other one had to be blood. The water is the spirit. See, you know, the anointing is oil, but the water is the spirit. You know, Jesus cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, which was not yet given. In other words, there's a dead bird in an earthen vessel. Oh, this same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead shall also quicken my mortal body and set me free and give me life and life more abundant. But look at their course, verses 15 and 16. They got their cure. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, one of them, y'all, turned back and with a loud voice glorified. Praise God! Look at me! I'm cleansed! Hallelujah! Glory! Look! I'm cleansed! Oh, I don't have to be outside anymore! That's the way every Christian ought to feel who believes in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're no longer outside, and I don't care what denomination wants to put you outside. If you whosoever believe, if you believe in him, you're not outside. You're inside, and you're cleansed, my God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus had, one man came to him, you couldn't touch him. And one man said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole, a leper did. And Jesus, the Bible said, touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. See, you weren't supposed to touch him until the priest. Did you know nobody in the Old Testament, there is no recording of anybody ever getting delivered from leprosy under the law. Brother David Naaman got cleansed. He dipped seven times. Let me help you. Naaman was a Syrian. He was not a Jew, and he was not under the law, okay? You won't find anywhere in there where anybody, although the law was, if they get clean. Because you see, the only way they were going to get cleansed was to be dipped in blood. And the blood of bulls and goats could not cleanse the sins of man and set him completely free in an open field. Set him free in an open field. Set him free in an open field. Say that with me. Set him free in an open field. My God, you're standing under an open heaven. It's open, it's clear, it's beautiful. You're free. You're free in America and you're free. My God, our founding fathers died so we could have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And our Heavenly Father gave His only begotten Son that we might have life and have it more abundant. My God, you're free. You're in an open field. Give thanks if you believe that you're free and you've got a reason to be thankful in this house. Amen. But then their character. Let's look at 17 through 19. Here's where I got my title from. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10? Remember, he just said the verse before. And this one was a Samaritan. You know, the only thing that the Jews had in common with the Samaritans, y'all, was their leprosy. They didn't have anything to do with them. Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? They're not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. I want you to look. The ones who were going as they went, they got their healing. But the one who gave thanks was made complete. You see, that's the difference in character. Character is who you are in the dark. You see, it's something about character. People aren't born with it. It has to be trained. You see, Brother David, what are you pointing at? You see, that one was a Samaritan. The other 9 were Jews. In other words, the 9 said, we're entitled. The Samaritan said, I was a stranger. And he took me in. Hallelujah. See, that's the whole picture. Jesus sharing this with the Pharisees, and he's telling them through this story, this is how you are. You think because you're Abraham's seed that you're entitled to miracles. But whenever I go to those who are on the outside, they're going to return with thanks. Because I'll open a door that whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. And it's sad to say, but that the stranger in this country is seeming to be the person who is still thankful. Amen. But you see, the entitled may get a healing, but the thankful person is made whole and complete. Would you stand with me? Father, there have been many sacrifices by those who have fought and died that we could have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And your Son died that we could have life and have it more abundant. Paul said to walk therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Amen. The Bible says, I will enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. The Spirit said, grumbling people always think they deserve more than what they got. Thankful people always believe that they got more than what they deserved. Amen. I'm just asking you in this place today to say with me, Brother David, We don't want to be the stranger anymore. We want to be the norm. We want to always be thankful. We don't want our thankfulness to be represented as a stranger. But we want to give thanks in the morning, thanks through the day, thanks at night. And I say, God, don't let thankfulness be a stranger in this country anymore. Amen. I love you. God loves you. Fellowship before you leave, you are dismissed. God is good.